Hallo? Hører du? Ok. Fint. Egentlig mangler det en halv minutt under forutsetning av at det er samme tid der oppe som er på min klokke, så vi venter i 30 sekundene. Ja, altså velkommen til siste klasse, siste dag i faget. Så vi har en del ting som vi skal gjøre. Dere ser her front av rommet, en del ting som vi skal igjennom. Noe av dette er... Oh, yes. Okay, English. This is the last class in the course. And there are a number of things we will do today. You see here the overview. A number of the documents that you have here, they are supporting materials, they are not lectures. They are things that you can use to go deeper into the stuff. In addition to the lectures and exercises that we will do today, there will be also an opportunity to review the project, the obligatory project that you delivered, but this we take a little bit later. So the first part of today is related to the performance of computer security incident response teams, an area which is very important. Other names for Computer Security Incident Response Teams, abbreviated CSIRTs, are CERTs, Computer Emergency Response Teams, and there are even different teams, names. They are becoming more and more important, and they are still quite difficult to manage because of the continuous stress from a stream of incidents that all the time changing. So what is serious today becomes more or less routine that can be dealt with simpler means and automatized, but then you get new classes of incidents that are serious and have high priority. One of the students from the previous year, Merete Ask, is doing her thesis under my supervision with Telenor, and she's looking at the way Telenor handles incidents. So this is a very important topic, and Telenor admits that it is a topic in an area where they have a lot of potential for improvement. And that's not just Telenor. All organizations that have to deal with delivering some content on this digitalized world are very concerned about how to handle incidents, how to prevent them, how to mitigate them, how to learn, and also how to communicate them, because the, for instance, in the case of Telenor, if something happens, this affects a lot of customers, among them important customers, among them belonging to critical infrastructure, so they need to be informed, they need to be reassured, they need to be get bypasses and solutions if it's taking a long time to come back to the normal way of operating. Okay, so as usual, I have a paper describing the issue. So here in the paper about improving the performance of CSIRTs, I give you the background. And the background you can see in the increasing attack sophistication, which is the increasing line in dark red color. And this is due to a lot of new tricks that the attackers are developing. And on the other hand, you see the green line, which is the required knowledge among the attackers to be able to deploy these attack weapons, and this is decreasing because there are so many solutions that are available that you can use without having to develop by yourself. This diagram has not been continued after 2004, but you can easily prolong the lines, and there are more and more attack modes, and there are less and less requirements for the attackers because so much can be found in the internet, including black markets to trading vulnerabilities and attack weapons. Okay, so there you see references, and I will refer to two studies on the CSERTs that were done at Carnegie Mellon. They are already 10 years old, but still there is no new study. So, and it seems that the CSERTs are dealing with chronic problems that they are not able to solve, and we will see that the reason for that is very much what we learned on quality improvement, and that is the tremendous pressure to respond to incidents leads to the CSERTs to have a strong share of working hard just to cope with the incidents. And they don't have sufficient resources, they don't have sufficient funding to be able to come to the working smart way. So this is limited how much they can achieve. And that's why it's a sorrowful state of the practice of CSERTs that they are still doing a lot of struggling with the situation. Then I recommend for the students that you look at the questions that I could put here, and perhaps you work in groups. What is a CSERT? Different kinds of CSERTs, internal and external, and coordinating CSERTs. Terms like what is a constituency, how CSERTs can be used in a multi-layer defense, what kind of services a CSERT should provide. Look at the webpage of the Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams first, and what characterizes the CSERTs in how they are coping with increasing flood of security incidents. And you find the answers in the reports that I have given here. And this is references 1 and 2. As I said, they are from 2003. But I am not aware that there are newer studies. And that's simply because the situation hasn't changed very much. Still, they are the classical struggles, the classical problems of the CSERTs. I will use some materials that we developed when we had a PhD thesis, where we created system dynamics models of CSERTs. Okay, then the lecture. And the first lecture is the ongoing progress, slow progress, but still progress, towards a cybersecurity reporting system, and how this relates to quality improvement. And there we look at the differences in data reporting in the area of safety, which is more related to accidents, and in security, which is more related to information. And what are the problems that make it difficult to get sufficient data? Cyber data restrictions. As to the trend to outsource information security to information security management providers, then a review of the studies of the practice of CSERTs, a little review of the quality improvement programs seen from the perspective of the CSERTs, and Some of this is material that you have seen before, but here with a little twist towards research. So if you look at safety, like for instance the safety of aviation or the safety in chemical industry, then you find many examples of successful safety data reporting systems. For instance, in aviation, you have the aviation safety reporting system, where you get a lot of information about events that happened and how they are related. That's what we call event trees. Faults that occur and how they are related, the fault trees. Identification of possible hazards, and so on and so on. In the area of information security, the task is much, much more difficult, and we have no, really, we don't have a good cybersecurity reporting system yet. And the basic reasons are that you need good data. But in the case of information security, you cannot rely on that there is relevant data about the attacks. And when it exists, very often you do not get access to that because it's proprietary information, and the organizations that own that data, they are not very interested in sharing that out of fear that the weaknesses could become known, or out of fear of bad publicity that it could lose customers. And when they give the data, very often the data is not good enough. And the reasons for all this is that the attackers are very clever at concealing the details of their attacks, so you don't get all the information that you need. Then those that are attacked, if they gather the data, they do that for their own purposes, which is not necessarily the same that researchers will need in order to find out about the way the attacks occur, how they could be prevented. And then, as I said, organizations are reluctant to share the data out of fear of bad publicity, or fear that whoever get that data could misuse it to create new attacks. A couple of years ago, we had a master thesis here that I supervise, where we wanted to learn more about insider attacks in Norwegian organizations. And the student who did the study sent out about 100 invitations to different organizations asking for being able to interview them and get information about possible insider attacks. The rate of response was very low, about only less than 10% complied and said yes, they would give us data. And when we interviewed them, they turned out, all of them, they said, no, we didn't have problems. So probably only those that felt safe, they shared data, and all the others that had something to hide decided not to share the data. Then it's very, very difficult to make progress with such an attitude. And we have here a bottleneck. How can we make progress, given that organizations are not so cooperative? I would like to explore a possibility of the coming across this barrier. This graph shows you how the situation is. On the right-hand side, organizations have some data. On the left-hand side, that's the data we need for research, and we don't get the data from the organizations, or if we get it, it is incomplete, or as in the study of the insider threat, we get data because it is harmless data. It says everything is fine. And then, of course, you don't learn very much from such research. The only thing indirectly that you could say, okay, it seems that only 10% of the organizations are free from insider threat. But even that is unsafe to claim, because some of the organizations who didn't respond, perhaps they didn't have problems, but they simply were not motivated or didn't have time to cooperate. So the question is, given that the direct contact with the organizations is so difficult, perhaps the trend that more and more companies, bigger companies, are outsourcing their information security could help. Why? Because Constituent stands here from some organization that has engaged some security management provider to care for the information security. So we call that fictitious company Outsource Security Limited. In Norway it could be Mnemonic. And they have clients, different organizations, say banks, perhaps insurance companies, whatever. And they are all the common problems, they are being dealt by the company that provides the managed security. The reason for this is simply that it is becoming more and more complex to yourself to deal with the threats of posed by the attackers. There is more pressure, the attacks are becoming more sophisticated, the risks are becoming bigger. Okay, so given now that we have a number of companies in Norway, I'm aware of two. One is Secode and the other one is Mnemonic, probably there are more, that are doing managed information security for different companies. Then, once you have that, these companies like Mnemonic, Secode and so on, they have common interests and they find ways to cooperate. So they attend the same conferences, the same workshops and so on. And by sharing some degree of this information in this fora, then we are getting, at least at a high generic level, more and more insight in the important data. It is of course filtered through the companies that provide manage information security. So this prevents sensitive data from the clients to become known, but at the same time one gets essential information about the trends, about the major kinds of attacks, and also one has assist progress in developing methods, in developing tools. If you like, you can have a look at the first web page. Perhaps we can do that here. Now it has even quite a sexy web page. It used to be quite poor, but this is very nice. So first is the Global Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams. So here's a lot of things that you could do you could go in that and read things. You can get best practice documents, technical colloquia for security experts, even classes, incident response conferences, publication work services, special interest groups. FIRST has more than 200 members, so it has been increasing. And there are many more CSERTs and CERTs than those who are members of CERTs. Here you see a list. And probably we will find things like NURCs and so on here. Let's have a look. Some of these are company CSERTs, like Mitsubishi, Huawei, and so on. Others are national or regional. So here you see, for instance, NURCERT, Norwegian Computer Emergency Response Team, but not NURCs. That's strange, perhaps because they don't work so much at that. I don't know how many we have then members in Norway, but we can see the distribution here. I think there should be a map. Adobe Flash Player is required. Don't I have Adobe Flash Player here? I have a new laptop, so maybe I don't have here. Okay. So it seems that I am not. Can you see that, Steiner? Or you don't have this web page, perhaps? Yes. Yes. Okay. I don't have the Adobe Flash Player installed, so I cannot see that here. Alphabetical list. Members around the world. Yes. No. It isn't working very well. Okay. But you can see that in your case and so on. So that's the first thing. And that's what I mentioned here. So among the outsourced security that you can consider, they are the CSERTs. And as I said, computer security incident response teams is just one of the names. You have other names like CERTs or even IRTs and so on. And the webpage I'm showing you, it was this one, the Forum for Incident Response and Security Teams, which has been improving over the years and now contains a lot of good information that might be appeal to you. And as you have seen, they have a lot of resources in addition to conferences and workshops. They have best practice documents and so on, and common methods and tools. But still, since the very beginning of the CSERTs, or CERTs, one has had a problem that is still unsolved, and that is how to cope with increasing flood of incidents. It is not only that the numbers increase, they are increasing also in danger and hazards and consequences. So the risks are bigger and bigger. And for this, quality improvement is very much needed. So this slide, which I wish I could get a newer one from Carnegie Mellon, but they are a little bit restrictive, still it shows very clearly the trend in increasing sophistication. If you follow this dark red line, it is not necessarily a linear increase, it's perhaps even more serious. But for all of this, you see some new advance, like in the beginning, internet, social engineering attacks, packet spoofing, automated probes and scans, hijacking sessions, and so on and so on. Denial of service attacks, distributed denial of service attacks, and so on and so on. More and more serious things that are happening. So the attack sophistication is increasing. However, more and more of this information to attack is being found in the internet. It's very easy to get at, even attack tools. You can even pay for even more advanced tools. There is a market for that. We had a PhD study some years ago where we look at black markets for trading tools and vulnerabilities that would allow to attack. So this is quite serious. Of course, you as a private person don't have so much to fear, although more and more we are seeing attempts to compromise bank accounts. So perhaps in the future we will feel this threat more and more. But still, it's the guys that are paying in the black market for privileged knowledge about attack tools and vulnerabilities, they tend to be those that are interested in attacking or strong organizations, either because there is money in it or because they are trade secrets, or in some cases out of reasons of being adversaries. Perhaps if someday there is a new war, world war, it will be a cyber world war. What do CISAs provide? Well, originally they were created for incident analysis. What was happening and how this could be solved. Then incident response was provided with support and coordination, and more CISAs look now for proactive services in order to enhance the defenses and mitigate the consequences of attacks. If you look on the way CISAs operate, first, there are some trends we are seeing, and these references go to the documents that you find here in Frontier. Oh yes, here it was. This one. Organizational Models for Computer Security Incident Response Teams and State of the Practice of Computer Security Incident Response Teams. So we have seen a large increase in CISAs, especially the CISAs that are external in the sense that they don't belong to a company or they don't work for a company that is the mother company, but rather they are serving constituents that are clients of them. Another trend is the development of standards for CISAs, and another one is developing generic CISA tools. I wrote here intention to develop generic CISA tools. This is now, I will correct that, the first site shows that there are already CISAs tools on best practice methods. Still, the situation hasn't changed very much. The first CISAs called CERT, established at Carnegie Mellon in, I think, in 1988. It took only 6 years until Carnegie Mellon did a study of the situation of CISAs. The author was Smith. And the main conclusion was the CISAs didn't have enough resources. They were simply underfunded. They didn't have enough staff, and the staff was overworked. And nearly 10 years later, and 10 years ago, Kilcrease and several authors at Carnegie Mellon, they wrote the two documents that you can get online and which I pointed at. And basically the situation has not changed. So, quote from page 112, as the volume of incidents and vulnerability reports continue to rise and the automation and speed of many attack tools continue to increase, CERT and information security staff members now have less time to react to new threats. So that adds to the stress and overworked. As a consequence, one finds staff burnout. As a consequence of the staff burnout, there is problems to keep the staff. And when they get new staff, they have less experience. So that's keeping and setting back the CERTs. The much needed increase in knowledge and working smart is making difficult because they are having to cope with the loss of experienced staff. And there are the problems of insufficient funding, of inadequate management support, shortage of trained incident handling staff, made worse by the fact that they are losing staff because they get burnout. And very often these CISOs operate without clearly defined mission and without clear authority, and they don't have good coordination mechanism. A very serious situation. And still they are struggling with that. So we did a study, a PhD student of mine, Johannes Wieck, did it. And basically, the curve at the left-hand side shows the problem. And that is, even if you are getting, over the years, more and more threats and more cases, the number of people working and the CERT that was provided as the data. It was a German CERT that served the universities and research institutions in Germany. DFN means Deutsches Forschungsnetzwerk, the German Research Network. So you see on the right-hand side the tremendous increase in the workload. In the left-hand side, you see practically no increase in staff. In the right-hand side, you can see the red curve is the total number of incidents, the incidence rate, incidents per month, increasing from very few to 600 incidents per month by 2003. We don't have fresher data simply because that's the last study that was done. So here's a good opportunity for doing more research. And if you divide the incidents in low and high priority, low priority, they are those that you have seen before and where you can provide a quick response. That's the green curve. Then most of the incidents, happily, are low priority. And then you have a curve of high priority incident response rate, which is the blue one, where it seems as if it increases and then decreases, but then we will later look at the data, we will see that this is more complicated. It is not decreasing, rather it is oscillating. But all in all, there is an increasing workload, while the resources have been quite constant, or at least they haven't grown in a comparable size with the workload. So there is an imbalance here, and that's one of the key problems. We will come back to this study later, but let's review the problems. If you look at CSERTs, it is pretty practically the same thing that we know from quality improvement programs. And that is, it pays to do quality improvement, but most of the attempts to improve quality, they fail. And as you remember, Rippening and Sturman, with their PhD students at MIT, look at different organizations in different areas of business in the United States. And from that, they were able to develop a model that summarize the main findings. And the main findings is that there are two ways of dealing with a problem. You have balancing loop coping with incidents, which is working hard, simply increasing the time you spend on handling the incidents. Whereas the other, the possibility, working smart, would mean learning from the incidents so that you could develop improvements to increase the capability of the CSERTs so that you could do more efficient response. So you have the two choices, B1 and B2, working hard, coping with incidents, working smart, learning from incidents, and develop tools to increase the capability of the CSERTs. And the problem that relate to these options is that there is a reinforcing loop, reinvestment, that reinforces the strategy that you choose. If you opt for working hard, then you are trapped because the reinforcing loop forces you to work hard and hard. Whereas if you are able to work smart, but this requires a long-term investment, then you have the sufficient slack to be able to continue to do improvement while you are able to respond to the incidents. And the problem is that even when you are working smart, if you're tied to shortcuts, balancing loop B3, too often, this can lead you into the trap of working hard. The explanation of this model, you know from before, but I reviewed it very quickly. You have two options for the performance, increasing the time or increasing the capability. The capability demands long-term investment and it comes with a delay, whereas the working hard is immediate but limited. And then I explained the different loops, but you have seen that before. So I don't need to spend more time on that, but for you, this is nice to review that. And then if you look at the two options, we see that working hard, coping with incidents, gives better results to begin with before it becomes worse. Whereas if you invest on working smart, learning from incidents, it is worse first before it becomes better, but it can be stabilized even if you're working better. And we will see that later in the studies. And the simulations, which you've seen before, show this in practice. If you opt for working harder, then in the background your capability is decreasing. But to begin with, you see an improvement because working harder, more time, more effort, pays off. But over time, the decreasing capability leads to worse performance, so that's the better before worse behavior. Whereas the opposite, if you succeed in working smart, then you have to go through a dry spell where your performance decreases because you have less resources on dealing with incidents while you are developing better solutions. But in the end, because of the increased capability, your performance increases. And that's the reason why CSERTs, like companies that try to improve their quality in the processes, get often stuck, simply because they opt for the short-time improvement, and then they are trapped. And those that would like to work smart don't have the resources to go through a decrease in their performance. They risk losing their clients and perhaps even becoming bankrupt. So in the next hour, I will look at the real study that we did with Johannes Wieck and look at the model that we developed for DFN CERT. So we take a 15-minute break.